This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. You may know my next guest from his decade as Dr. Perry Cox on the TV show Scrubs, or you may have seen him as Dodgers announcer Red Barber earlier this year in the Jackie Robinson movie 42. Now he's starring in a new sitcom that airs Thursday nights on TBS. It's called Ground Floor. John C. McGinley, welcome to America Weekend.
Paul, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. This new show, Ground Floor, was created by Bill Lawrence, the guy who, I guess, was the showrunner for all those years on Scrubs. With your time on that show and your connection to him, were you in on the ground floor of Ground Floor?
I had pretty lovingly moved on from episodic TV to doing, I was lucky enough to do, as you suggested, 42, and then I went and did Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway with Al Pacino. And so I was segueing off into a different path. And then after Glengarry closed in February of last year, Bill Lawrence gave me a call and said, I have another one for you. And I said, I don't really want to, Billy. And so I turned it down a few times, but he seduced me into doing Ground Floor. And the way he did it was he gave me as much creative leeway or as much license to contribute as you could possibly ask for. And that's all really a lot of actors want, is to be able to contribute. And that put the hook into my gums, and he reeled me in. And now the show, we've done 10 episodes. It opened last Thursday fantastically. And now we're off to the races. I'm thrilled that Billy seduced me.
So when he gives you creative freedom, does that mean you're there in the beginning, like when the writers are coming up with the concept of who the character is going to be? Or do you come in later and you have the words on the page and now it's you that has to be the actor who creates that character?
More the former. Over the summer, I had a couple of months between when we shot the pilot, which was in May, and when we went back to work in August. I had a couple of months there to let this marinate. And what I did, the character's name is Mansfield, and I decided that I needed to put some of this down on paper, so I wrote something called the Mansfield Manifesto, and I submitted it to the writers. It's about a 20-page document about this guy, R. Stuart Mansfield. In fact, I came up with his name. And just I tried to catalog as many eccentricities and quirks and fundamentally ground him in what I believed I wanted him to be as possible. And it yielded huge dividends because the writers didn't assimilate it as a contribution of arrogance. They used it as a gift, and that's what it was intended to be. And that was all I wanted. I wanted to be included in establishing who this guy was. And I could carry the ball. Once you call action, I can carry the ball, but I want it to be there prior to.
Wow. That kind of creative control over a character is rare in television. Have you ever had that before?
No. And that's how Billy got me to do this.
So like in Scrubs, the character here is a boss who's constantly fed up with people. And you play that great, by the way.
Well, the big difference here with Mansfield and Cox, who was the doctor in Scrubs, is that the doctor in Scrubs was a lot more damaged, A, and B, he had no interest in being anybody's mentor. And Mansfield, the character in Ground Floor, which is on Thursday nights on TBS at 10 o'clock, he's the missing piece in his life is a son. He has two daughters who he loves and a wife, but he never had a son. And he adopts Skylar Astin's character as his son, emotionally and spiritually. And that will be one of the major forces competing for Skylar's for his life and for his trajectory will be me and then the girl that he meets, the female janitor. And
yep.
So that'll be the A story every week.
You mentioned earlier that you did Glengarry Glen Ross in his Broadway revival earlier this year, and I'm a huge Mamet fan and love that play and, of course, the movie that was made later. And you did it with Al Pacino and Richard Schiff and Bobby Cannavale, a terrific cast. I'm curious how intimidating it is to be on stage with Al Pacino.
Well, I have had spent 4 months with Al on Any Given Sunday, Oliver Stone's football movie, so... Yeah. The intimidation factor didn't exist as much as the acknowledgement of what a gift it is to be with one of the great American actors of certainly my lifetime, and to be on stage with him eight performances a week for 4 or 5 months was one of the great gifts of that I've ever gotten as an actor.
And when you're doing Mamet, there's no such thing as ad-libbing, right?
No, absolutely not. What I mean. wouldn't want to, first of all, because the thing, when David's play won a Pulitzer, to me, and it sounds like to you as well, Paul, that this is the greatest American play written in our lifetime, at least for men it sure is.
Yeah.
And to be able to roam around those words is, it makes you pretty much the luckiest guy on the planet.
One of the things that I love about Mamet is that the rhythm of the speeches that he gives to the actors seems a little bit different. I mean, if you take all of his work together, there's always a different rhythm for those characters speaking than pretty much in anybody else's work. Have you found that doing his work on stage?
Absolutely. What was so interesting is moving from rehearsal into previews and then opening was seeing how much of the heavy lifting David Mamet's words do for the actors if you commit to the words and the rhythms. A lot of times they'll do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. In other words, the burden's not on the actor to emote from the bowels of your emotional core as much as it is to execute the language, and the language will move you through the story. And it's a big difference than if the language is not on the page and you got to pull a rabbit out of the hat every performance. You don't with David. You got to say his words, and you got to commit to him, and just declare that this is what I've come to say on the stage, or these words, these syllables, and that moves the play forward.
Another wordsmith that you worked with, who I really respect, is Eric Bogosian. 25 years ago, you appeared in the movie version of his stage show, Talk Radio. The movie version was directed by Oliver Stone, who you've done plenty of work with. Tell me about the experience of doing talk radio with Bogosian.
Well, I also originated the play with Eric.
Oh, I didn't know that.
New York Shakespeare Festival, and I did it for a year and a half and saw a couple of different actors come in and play Eric's character because he only did it for about 6 or 7 months, and then he moved on. And so it's very rare. The conventional wisdom is if you do a hit play, you're definitely not going to be included in the movie because they'll get some big star to replace you.
Yep.
And so when Oliver came along, and I'd already done two films with Oliver. I'd done Platoon of Wall Street by the time we did Talk Radio.
Yep.
And Oliver picked me to reprise the role that I created off Broadway. And so that going in felt really good because I'd already had a year and a half, essentially, of a rehearsal process off Broadway. And then we shot the whole thing in 6 weeks, which is very unusual. Down in Dallas, Texas, we worked Saturdays, so we worked 5 6-day weeks, and that's really fast for a major motion picture, and so that felt really good to be able to, I guess it's the most rehearsal I've ever had for a character before.
Wow, and the fact that you knew the character and the guy who had created it and had been there at the beginning, that's got to help you embed that character in your brain when you're doing it on film, right?
I always think of the camera as an X-ray machine, and then when actors get in front of it, it kind of sees right through you. And so, especially if you're trying to create too big a lie, which is pretty much what actors do on screen, we try to tell a story about somebody that we're not, and so that's kind of a lie. And so, if the lie can be supported in some extraordinary way, whether it's through a year and a half of playing the character prior to, and maybe you start to believe the lie, and the camera then doesn't suffer you quite as cruelly. And so getting in front of the lens after doing talk radio for a year and a half at the New York Shakespeare Festival felt like just stepping out of bed. It was as natural as having a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Let me ask you about 42, which I saw when it first came out, really liked it, and now people are discovering it now that it's out on DVD as well. You play Red Barber, who was, you know, probably before Vin Scully, the Vin Scully of his era. In fact, the guy who inspired Vin Scully as the Dodgers announcer to play.
Well, he hired Vin Scully.
That's right. So
Vin was his intern for a couple of years.
So to be Red Barber, do you have to study Red Barber and work up an imitation of Red Barber?
Yeah, I had to. Once I got the role, I kind of sequestered myself in a rehearsal space that I keep here in Los Angeles, and I didn't come up for air for about a month because I couldn't get his sounds. I couldn't get his cadence and rhythm in my ear, and it took me about a month of listening to these CDs of him doing different World Series broadcasts before I could get his cadence in my ear.
And were you happy with it once you finally got it down, or were you constantly working on it?
Once I had it down, once I could do Shakespeare sonnets in Red's voice, and I could do an Edgar Allan Poe poem, then I knew I had him, and I could do anything. I could do his voice anywhere.
There you go. All right, the new show is called Ground Floor. It airs Thursday nights on TBS. John C. McGinley, thanks so much for joining me here today.
My pleasure, Paul. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.